Okay, I titled my testimony Rescued. My journey out of Adventism began in the mid-1980s in Loma Linda, a few years after my Adventist marriage ended in divorce. Over the years, I experienced little red flags about Adventism that bothered me. From my childhood to adulthood, I tucked these little flags away for another day. I was a first-generation Adventist. My parents were Christians and members of the United Brethren Church in central Pennsylvania. One Sunday after church, Dad listened to the Voice of Prophecy radio program and sent for the Bible correspondence course for the whole family, which included my four older siblings. I was 2 years old at this time. The whole family embraced the Sabbath and were all baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This was upsetting to my grandparents and my aunts and uncles. In the early days, Dad did not know that much about Ellen G. White. I grew up in a loving Adventist home, along with the good Christian influence of my grandparents and my aunts and uncles. One of the first red flags was the state of the dead. All my life at Christian funerals, I heard that the deceased person's spirit went to be with the Lord immediately. Spirit? What was the living spirit? They did not sleep in the ground like the Adventists taught in their doctrine of soul sleep. The second red flag was Adventists were the only ones going to heaven because they were God's remnant people. The people who worshiped on Sunday would be unsaved because they were of the world and wicked, and those are in quotes. And they did not keep the seventh-day Sabbath. This was taught in the Adventist elementary school I attended. What do you think a young child who loved her grandparents thought of this? In grade school, I heard all the usual stories about Ellen Harmon, such as when she was 10, she was struck in the head by a stone and was in a coma for 3 weeks. We were told, wasn't it wonderful, that though Ellen was in poor health, she was chosen to be God's special messenger. In another story, I learned how she held up a big family Bible, weighed 18 pounds, in one hand with her arm at a 45-degree angle for several minutes. As a young child in grade school, these stories were impressive. I found out much later that there is no proof of Ellen White ever holding a heavy Bible or doing many of the things she allegedly did. Later, as an adult, I visited the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City, Utah. The tour was very interesting, and I heard the story about their prophet, Joseph Smith. I thought to myself at the time, wow, how was I so lucky to be a member of the true church with the true prophet? And then again, how did we know for sure that Ellen G. White was the true prophet? In the early 1970s, as a young mother, I was trying so hard to be a good mom. The Loma Linda University Church offered a class for moms studying the book Child Guidance by Ellen G. White. I signed up. You guessed it. The class was a huge disappointment and made me feel unworthy to be a mom. No love, no hope. Most of it was completely negative. I do not remember the Bible being used at all in this class, only Ellen G. White. Living in Loma Linda, one always heard about what was happening in the church, especially in our area. Three more red flags to tuck away in my subconscious. They were concerning Ellen G. White's borrowing most of her health reform ideas, the investigative judgment doctrine, and the Sabbath doctrine. In 1986, I started a new job at the faculty medical offices in Loma Linda. Most of the doctors were Adventists, however, a lot of the employees were not. This was a new positive experience for me. One young Christian girl befriended me, and we formed a bond which I treasure to this day. She made a huge positive impression on me and was always happy to discuss any biblical questions I had. Also about this time, I became reacquainted with a Christian man who I had known as a young boy in my hometown in central Pennsylvania. We started writing back and forth, and his love of the Lord was very obvious. Meeting these two people at this time in my life, when I needed biblical answers, was Lord's perfect timing. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give hope to the future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In the very first letter that Edgar wrote to me was this verse: I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Psalms 121:1. Just what I needed to hear. I struggled for years and realized I couldn't help myself, but I needed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. After corresponding for 3 years and visiting back and forth several times, we fell in love and decided to get married. This was a big change for me again, moving from California back home to Pennsylvania. I was not attending any church at this time. However, Edgar knew I had made the decision to leave the Adventist church. I just needed time to study God's word to discover what I believed, not what my parents or a church told me to believe. It's a blessing that I love to read, because I spent the decade of the 1990s reading more than ever before. My husband introduced me to Christian authors and their books. What a blessing. Eternal Security by author W. Pink and Grace Awakening by Charles Swindoll were especially wonderful for me. This was the first time I understood grace as a free gift. I did not have to work for my salvation. Jesus did it all through his blood on the cross. What a blessing to know for sure I was saved. The Adventist veil lifted for me in 1992. While studying the covenants, and this was with the guidance of my faithful, patient husband, encouraged me to read the whole chapter of the passages I was looking up so I'd be reading the correct context of the passage. Smart man. Slowly but surely, the word was beginning to knock down the false prophets, false doctrines of Adventism for me. I read page after page, discovering more truth about all my red flags I mentioned earlier. It was so refreshing to study the Bible without the veil to distort my understanding of God's word. God meets our deepest needs when we trust in him. Later in the 1990s, I was visiting the Damascus Road Seventh-day Adventist Church in Damascus, Maryland. And this is because I had a friend living nearby that I was visiting. And the pastor, Richard Fredericks, told me about Dale Rafflift and Life Assurance Ministries. I called Dale, and he was very gracious and suggested I read two of his books, The Sabbath in Crisis and The Cultic Doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I agreed, and he mailed them to me. This was a huge help to know what the SDA believed and what the Bible really taught. The Life Assurance Ministries website was a goldmine of information. Three more books I ordered from the website that helped me resolve some of the earlier red flags that came up in Loma Linda back in the 1980s. And these were The Prophetess of Health by Ronald Numbers, The Investigated Judgment by Desmond Ford, and The White Lie by Walter Ray. Now I told my husband I was ready to attend a Sunday church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. She's ready. This took a while, visiting different churches each week until we went to a Calvary Bible Church. This was the one. The pastor was preaching on end time prophecies, just what I needed to hear. I was like a sponge soaking up all these wonderful Christian teachings from the Bible. This was the first time I heard a teaching on the rapture, a very new concept for me. Calvary Bible became our home church. The people were friendly, and we liked the service and the pastor's teachings. It was a perfect match. In 2002, I requested my name be added to the Proclamation Magazine mailing list. What a goldmine of information for to help transitioning Adventists. Of course, it was through this publication where I first met and heard of Colleen and Richard Tinker. Who knew these two precious people would become so important to me in my future? Unfortunately, in 2006, my husband, who taught me so much, went to be with his Lord and Savior. While this was a very sad time for me, I was comforted in knowing that someday I would see him again and be with the Lord too. The Lord still had a lot to teach me. I moved back to California a year later to be near my daughter and two grandchildren. This was perfect, as I already knew I wanted to go to Trinity Church. I had visited there several times while on vacation to see my daughter. We are so blessed at Trinity with Pastor Gary Ingrid and his wife Elizabeth, who are both dedicated to teaching from God's Word, the Holy Bible. Every Sunday morning is an awesome experience in God's words. I am richly blessed every week. Elizabeth's teaching and the Women's Weekly Bible Study are also awesome, and the ladies in my small group are our wonderful Christian ladies. I have learned so much from all these dear people. I praise the Lord for Colleen and Richard Tinker and their leadership of the former Adventist Fellowship. The Friday night Bible studies and the Sunday lunches are special times with people of all ages. They became my family in Christ, giving me lots of love and support. I truly treasure this family as well as my Trinity family. I like Jesus' announcement of who he is. I am. That says it all. Another scripture I hold dear to me is, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord," Romans 6:23. This gift can never be earned by doing good works. It's free to us, but it was costly to God who gave his beloved Son. Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sins. If there is anyone here tonight who has not received this free gift of eternal life, I encourage you to ask him for it before the weekend is over. He will gladly give it to you. It's really very simple. Believe and receive and do it. Thank you.